Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space. This is episode 229, recorded on June 17th, 2022, where John and Jason go over the June 2022 Power BI updates, which include Connect to Data Marts in preview, Power BI data storytelling updates, and announcing the Data Hub and Power BI.
Hello, Jason. How are you today?
John, I'm doing great, man. It's early on a Friday. We're getting some recording in because we just got a new service update.
We did. We always love the service updates. Things moving along nicely. Yeah, absolutely. It's middle of June. Nice sunny day. Got some updates. It's not a big one this month, though.
No, it's not huge, but there's really good stuff in here. I think there's some interesting things for us to have some chats about.
I think so.
I'm just, Father's Day is this Sunday, and I'm getting ready to head out. I'm going off to Seattle next week to go to an offsite with the Power BI Cat team, so I'm excited. I'm thinking about bringing the podcast recorder and like seeing if we can have some nice chats with some folks while I'm there, some of my peers on the Cat team who we may not have gotten to hear from, and even some who we have. So I'm looking forward to that, so we can drop in some of these interviews along the way.
I think that'll be a beautiful thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with summer coming up, you know, we're going to see some slowness before the fall of announcements that we always hope to see. But you know, today we're going to spend our time talking about the Power BI June 2022 feature summary and sort of drill in and talk through these. And the first thing up here is going to be the reporting section. And with the reporting section, the first thing is the new format pane is now generally available.
It is. That basically means all of those changes to the way it's all laid out, we can now use in production. So everybody gets it by default, but they have been getting it by default for some time. They don't have to turn on the preview feature is I guess the big difference.
Yeah, and I think we switched it to by default. We had it. You had to go turn it off.
That's correct.
But what this means is we obviously passed all the accessibility things, and all the customers out there who don't want to use something until it's generally available can now go ahead and use this. I'm a big fan of it. I like the way it works.
And there are a couple of bugs fixed this month as well. I don't think we need to dive into the details of them, but they continue to improve it. And I have a funny feeling that just because it's GA, they're not going to stop improving it.
No. The one thing that they added this month along the way was when you resize a blank page to a tooltip size, it automatically flips the bit to say, allow users as tooltip, so you don't have to go do that manually, which is nice. Like if you're resizing it to a tooltip size,
chances
obviously
are
you're going to use it for that purpose. So yeah, they just went ahead and made it one step easier for you. And one of the things that I like being on the team now for 2 months, the thing I keep hearing is, how do we make this with less friction? How do we give a frictionless experience? And this is one of those, you know, reduce friction, like just one less step, one less surface area thing you have to go deal with. So I think it's
exactly
cool.
Exactly. There's some changes to error bars this month. They've changed the layout. Again, it's in this new UI. The title of this section is a little bit misleading. They haven't really changed the error bars themselves. They've just changed the way you define them, I think.
Yeah, and that's okay. It's a little different. And so just worth calling out here more than anything else. The next one up is the information protection updates. And in Power BI Desktop, you can establish a live connection to a shared data set in Power BI service and create different reports from the same data set. And it's going to flow through the sensitivity label in desktop now. So you're seeing that if it's a Live Connect data set, which you didn't see before.
Right, so not for Live Connected. You're seeing the sensitivity labels get applied at more and more and more levels. And frankly, to be truly useful, they do need to be 100% consistent. Has to flow through the entire system. So it's nice to see these happening.
So, all right, the next one up here is table navigation improvements. And you and I talked about this beforehand, John. This one is more about accessibility than anything else.
So
yeah, there's some performance things here as well, but they're mostly for the viewing and accessibility features. So like the first one up here is performance improvements for scrolling and rendering, as well as the look and feel of grid lines and selection styles. So this is a fit and finish. This is one of those things that brings the accessibility stuff more to the forefront as well. New two-tone focus outlines for any color background, so the focus will always be visible even in darker themes, meeting color contrast requirements. Again, making it for visually impaired or lower visibility humans to be able to better visualize these things. Just not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think the big one here too is the images. So images that appear in tables you can associate with alt text, and you couldn't do that before. So that's certainly a big one from that standpoint.
The next one here is a little bit interestingly worded. You and I went back and forth on this one. The Canvas Zoom in Teams and Quick Create. We now get Canvas Zoom in those two experiences. So in Microsoft Teams, as well as when you go into the service and go create a report, that's what's being referred to here, I believe, as Quick Create. You're able to go ahead and quick created reports that are just stored in the service. You're able to manage the Zoom. But the thing about this is the Zoom level is not saved with the report. So it's not a personalization feature. It's something you'd have to do multiple times. Like, so if you come back to it and you're trying, I want to set this as default, you don't have that ability in this.
Exactly. And that's it for reporting this month. That's a fairly quick romp through reporting. Takes us into the modeling section. And the first one's interesting because I'm going to tee off on a little bit. So composite models on SQL Server Analysis Services. And then we're talking, when we say SQL Server Analysis Services, we're distinguishing between Azure Analysis Services. So this is the on-premises offering through a gateway. Mm-hmm. And what this means, it's not we're putting composite models on SQL Server Analysis Services. We're building composite models with SQL Server Analysis Service. That's my understanding at the very least. I haven't done it yet. Now, I think the interesting part here is we've alluded to this the last few shows is what we are now calling composite models is that thing that we used to call, let's see if I can do it again, direct query for Power BI datasets and Azure Analysis Services. So it's a good thing we're just referring to it as composite models now, because we would have had to start calling this direct query for Power BI datasets and Azure Analysis Services and SQL Server Analysis Services.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. It's talking about the direct query connection becoming available, and it started last month, but really this is bringing it forward, and it's talking to SQL Server 2022. If I'm not mistaken, is required. It's now in public preview, but that's what's going to give you this capability. I don't know, and I don't see anything more here. I haven't read the additional blog post here to see if this is backwards compatible to prior versions of SQL Server Analysis Services. But
strongly doubt it.
I'd be curious.
Yeah, and this also opens another can of worms, because this term composite models is something we've used in the past to describe any model that has both direct query and an import data set in it. And I haven't seen any new naming around that yet. So I think if and when that happens, I think that's going to cause some confusion in the space. So we have to watch out for that a little bit. When someone says composite models, we have to say, what do you really mean?
Yeah. And I think we're going to get some clarity on that here before too long. But for right now, just something to recognize. So
yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Are you drowning in spreadsheets? Are you gasping for a better reporting solution? Let Marquee Insights throw you a lifeline. They can help you chart a course to success with Power BI, then get underway quickly with one of their quick start solutions while learning the ropes from their experienced staff. If you're ready for reporting bliss, go to marqueeinsights.com and click the Get Started button and learn how they can help you make better, faster decisions with smarter data.
All right, the next one here is in the data connectivity and preparation area. And this one, John, we've been talking for a little bit. We got up early this morning to go after this.
So data marts, right? We talked about data marts the last couple of shows.
Yep.
We're going to talk more about data marts. Data marts are, just to quickly synopsify that, it's a construct in Power BI that kind of combines the capability of a data flow with the ability to do modeling on top of that data flow. I mean, if I want to put it into a couple words, was that fair enough as a quick description?
Yeah.
So we can do modeling in the service. The data flow is building into, among other things, SQL tables. So this data set is generated automatically by the service, and we can go and edit it in the service. We can't edit it in Power BI Desktop. We can't download it, at least not now. And so this data set gets created. So in the service, we see a couple of constructs. We see a data mart, which is essentially the data flow kind of construct, the queries, and we have that ability to edit that data set. And then we get the data set itself that we can manage like a regular data set, right? I mean, in, as far as the service is concerned, it's the same thing as any other data set. So
yeah, so John, the thing that I think to add to this, there are three major components to data, to the data marts component, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have the data flow, which pulls the data. That's the extract.
Right? And we're not calling it that in the context of a data mart. It's the queries, but it is the same concept. Correct. I just want to be clear.
Yeah. It's the concept, right? It's a cloud. It is a SaaS-based
Power Query,
Power BI, Power Query, that's doing the extract and transform.
That's right.
And then there is a load that's happening. And the component that you dropped there was there's a SQL server.
Yeah.
Right? There's a SQL database that it's being loaded into, right? That load of the ETL is into SQL.
Essentially, it's the same. It's the same as having an enhanced compute engine running on a data flow.
Correct. It's a SQL endpoint that you can go off and hit, and you can look at the table, and you can work with the table. That's right. It is Azure SQL. It's back to Azure SQL. Okay. For all intents and purposes, that's exactly what it is. And the service builds for you a data set that is refreshed from the SQL database when the queries get run in the data flow, which
all
is
Power Query. Yes, okay. Exactly.
So we've now laid this out. You have your ET.
I want to jump in just because you say it's a SQL server. The endpoint for that SQL server is accessible in the data mart settings area. So you can go in there and literally get that endpoint, access it with your own tools.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is a connect to data marts preview that we're talking about in the data connectivity section.
Does that connect to the SQL or does it connect to the data set? I mean, which construct?
So this specifically connects up to the data set. This does not connect. This is not a connector. John.
So why do we have a data set and a data mart then if they're the same thing?
Well, because you're only looking at the data sets created by data marts, leveraging the data mart preview here.
But I can get at them through the other mechanism anyway, right?
Very specifically, notice that this is not a connector.
Okay.
This is connecting to data marts. And the thing that's odd in the way that the blog post is written this time is there is a section further down called Announcing the Data Hub. So let's jump for just a minute down to Announcing the Data Hub, okay?
Yeah.
We're excited to announce the Data Hub is the first line of this. This is the evolution of the Data Set Hub, okay?
Right. And the reason in the service.
Correct. This was only in the service, right? And this is an evolution of that. So we're getting data sets, connect to data set, as well as data mart preview showing up in this, and it's in the service, but this, John, is also in desktop.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you connect on Power BI data to connect through the data hub to Power BI data sets, you're going to be able to connect to a workspace and then see all the data sets in that workspace. If you connect to data marts, you're going to see all of the data marts. And then you can select one of those data marts and you connect to the data set
of
the data mart. But the data set from the data mart will also appear in Power BI data sets if you pick the workspace that data mart lives within. And I think that's confusing.
I can see why that you might be a little bit confused by that, John. But for all intents and purposes, you're looking at a filtered view. When you click on the data marts preview, you're going to see only the data sets that are created for data marts, and you're seeing them across all workspaces. You're not seeing it in one workspace.
Yep, it's a different pivot on it. Although when I first saw this, and of course I'm being silly about this, but when I first saw this, I expected if we're going to have a data mart section connector, whatever you want to call it, that if I'm going to select it, it's going to be different than the experience I'm going to get when I connect to the data set, because I can already connect to the data set. I'm not really excited about being able to connect the same data set through a different UI structure. You know what I mean? I would think that it would give me an easy way to connect to those underlying SQL tables. And that's not what it does. I mean, if you do want to connect to those underlying SQL tables today, you have to connect to Azure SQL. You have to go into the data mart. You have to find that endpoint I was referencing earlier and use that and connect to that. And it's a little bit clunky. I understand that there's a connector that'll let you do that later, but I would think that just given given the fact that you connect to one already and not the other, that we'd want to, the unique thing would be that. But
yeah. And we have been told that there will be a connector coming. It's a little ways away. It's not quite here yet.
That's fine.
And we'll talk with Priya Sathy here in just a couple of weeks.
That's right.
So we're going to get a chance to talk to her more in depth about this. We've got an interview set up with her. So very excited to have her on the show. But you know, we're going to get an opportunity to drill in and double click on that just a little bit in order to get some more detail behind it. But John, this, when we click on Data Hub in the service, and it's different things, okay?
Yes, it is.
In desktop, and specifically talking about desktop, in the ribbon, we're going to see it between Excel and SQL Server, right? I think that's where it shows up. In the ribbon on the insert tab, or it's just on the home tab, actually. Excuse me, it's not on the insert tab, right?
Yeah.
You're going to see it, and that when you click on the, this is one of the split icons, you're going to get the ability to choose which data one set of these you want. But if in the service, you will now see where Dataset Hub was before, Data Hub is there. And when you go click on it, you're going to see all of the data sets, including data marts, and they have different icons in the service.
Including the data sets, to be pedantic about it, including the data sets generated by a data mart. That would, are part of a data mart. But
So you're seeing that in the service, okay? So that's a very different experience than you're getting in desktop.
Yeah.
Because when you go into it, you're going to have an option. And again, I've jumped down into the lower section about announcing the Data Hub, right?
Yep.
You have the ability, owners have the ability to see metrics, refresh status, report, lineage reports, impact analysis, all of those kinds of things on their data, meaning their data sets, their data marts, right? So we're starting to see that in a different way. And you're also going to have the ability to go in and create a report from a template. You know, this is a very similar experience to what we had with the Dataset Hub before. When you clicked into it and you looked at a specific data set, you had these additional abilities of creating a report from a template, picking one and reusing it, creating from scratch, you know, just create a formatted table, these kinds of things. That's that paginated report functionality.
Yeah.
And then, you know, auto create a report, which is going to give you a single table data set, capability right now. They're going to add functionality around multi-table data sets later. But for right now, if you only have a single table, that's an option of creating, you know, auto create a report. So,
Just so I don't want to cut you off if you're drilling into another point there. Just to pick another nit too. Under Data Hub, you can get Power BI data sets. You can also get Power BI data sets in the Get Data experience. It's the same experience. It's exactly the same. So whether you go to the Data Hub, you go there, same thing. However, data marts do not exist under Get Data. The two parts to this. I think both of these should either be in both places, or both of these should only be under the Data Hub, but it should at least be consistent. And I'm not sure which would be the right approach. But I think that. And also, I'm going to pose this one to you. Shouldn't data flows be under the Data Hub too? Don't you think data flows really should be a part of a Data Hub? Because essentially they are, you know, they store data. They're a data source as well that is stored in the service. But I think they should be, but
I'm going to pull one of these, John. That's good feedback.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, you're 2 months at Microsoft, man. You've got that. You've got that in the chamber. All right.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting to get to use that one for a while. No, that's a good point. But again, keeping in mind, this is brand new, just got released. Different teams on different things. So who knows what we're going to see as we move forward. Lots of great things on the table for options around this stuff. But just worthy of note, wanted to make sure that we tried to explain this as best we could. Again, preview feature, new stuff coming out, new experiences that we're starting to see. So go play with it and then go get feedback. That's what the voice options, ideas.powerbi.com. Go out there and drop in comments. Let us know what you're thinking, because we actually listen. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I do think this is an important thing to understand. It's in a lot of ways, I think this is the future of modeling in Power BI in the service. So it's just the very beginning of it, but it'll be important to stay on top of.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by Tigraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using Tigraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try Tigraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tigraph.com.
All right. right. So we're going to move along here and mention the fact that there are a bunch of connector updates. These are actual connectors, like Anaplan, Azure Databricks. Databricks, which is different than Azure Databricks.
Azure Databricks is the Microsoft implementation of the open, you know, source Databricks, which is also its own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Dremio Cloud, FactSet Analytics, Hexagon, PPM, Smart API, Single Store, Snowflake, Vessel Insight, and Workplace Analytics is now being rebranded to Viva Insights. So the connector changes this month from Workplace Analytics to Viva Insights.
Just in case anybody was under any confusion that they weren't exactly the same thing. Yes, they are.
and that's nice. And some of that confusion that we've heard about. So, John, last month we, because I get to say that now, made the public preview of the Power BI data storytelling. This is the live data in PowerPoint functionality. And this time we've updated some things, and the PowerPoint add-in that we've developed is now available. And you're able to go in to the service on a report and go to the export function, drop down to the PowerPoint function, and there's two options now. One is the ability to embed live data, and the other one is to embed an image. So you still have the old functionality if you want it there, but you can also embed live data, and it's going to now give you the option, like it's going to give you a dialogue where you can just copy the URL just like you can with the embed options, or there's a button here that says open in PowerPoint. It's going to try and open in the app. If you have PowerPoint installed.
Which is cool because it's using an Office app from the Power BI team. And if it's not installed, it will go ahead and prompt you to install it. So it's a nice, easy way to have you go and get that app. And once you install it, it'll, of course, start rendering your report right within that slide. And it's completely dynamic. You can interact with it, et cetera, et cetera. It literally is going to change the way we do some of our demonstrations in sessions. Because we're telling stories. One of the things we have that... at the beginning of our day-long session is we show up a live Power BI dashboard. We'll now use the reports because we can embed the reports, not the dashboards. Mm-hmm. But that's going to go into the slide. Instead of having to switch out of the slide in presentation mode, you're just going to start to see that thing get updated. So I'm kind of pumped about trying that out for the first time. It's pretty cool.
We're going to have to do that in Dallas on August 8th, I think.
I think we'll just have to make a point of we're doing the full day thing there. So yes, let's do that. I got more nits to pick on this one, though.
Oh, yeah? Please pick away.
To find that, and I get that you'd want to group the PowerPoint stuff together, but to find that, I would have thought you're using more of an embed functionality. So the embed stuff, like doing a SharePoint web part to get the URL from that, that's under embed. A separate button on the ribbon is export, and one of the one we've always had is export to PowerPoint. That basically just exports an image. Now it's called out as being exactly that, export an image. And the other one is embed live data. Well, that's not an export. That is literally connecting to data in place. It's the opposite of an export. It's a connect into. And I really think that should be in the embed section on the ribbon, not in the export section on the ribbon.
Yeah, John, I'll differ with you on this for just a second. People who
you have the right to be wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just going to share a difference of a viewpoint.
Sure.
People who are looking at this functionality, they go and they've been using this, the PowerPoint export for a long time.
Okay.
Their natural motion is to go to the same place they've been going.
Okay. So rename it to integration and put the embed stuff under there too.
None of us are perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like that's where people have been going, and all we've done at this point is given you another option, one more flyout from there. So we didn't change a whole bunch in the menus. So it's not an additional thing that we now have to add into the dropdowns. All we did was, made it the place that people were going already. We just show them a different option and let them do this new functionality. So I see why they've done it, and we'll see what the feedback is. Again, ideas.powerbi.com. If you agree with John, go out there. John, you can go drop this in and vote for it. But, that's the kind of thing. It's like, it's there. I see why it was placed where it is. And there was probably a focus group that somebody ran to figure out, hey, what is your more natural motion? Where do you want to see this?
Yeah, that's fine. I just think logically it makes sense in a different spot. But hey, it is what it is. That's
exactly. I don't think that there's a wrong answer here. I can see why they made the choice that they made.
Yep. Fair enough. And okay, so the next, that kind of takes us through this section. We're into I just hate it. Power BI metrics. I want to say goals because Power BI metrics means something completely different to me. But anyway, we're talking about.
In 3 months, though, John, it's going to mean the same. It's going to mean this to you because, yeah, we're creatures of habit. You're going to figure it out.
Maybe.
You are an old dog, but it has been proven that you can learn some new tricks.
I can learn new tricks. Although now I have to say, no, the metric's the product, not metrics, the measurement. Anyway.
There you go.
But yeah, we're talking about the product formerly known as goals. Maybe we could just use an acronym like Prince did.
That works.
Formerly known as goals. Yeah, see, right in the article, it says feature formerly known as goal, not product feature. Okay, fair enough. It's picked up a number of things. The first one's milestones, and I thought it was in there already, but I must have, I don't know what I'm thinking, because I don't really use this all that much. We talked to Trev about that a couple weeks ago, and he's deep into it. But now we have basically data-driven milestones, so we can show how goals are going with respect to a milestone.
Yeah, and we also get categorical metrics, meaning, you know,
we
can categorize things. That's
non-numerical goals, et cetera. So, you know, show them as a, not necessarily a value, but as a label. So that's important. I mean, if you ever build a calculated measure, they're almost always numbers, but there's ways to get them and have them be phrases as well. So, and that's fine. And the ability to update your goals in bulk. So as opposed to having to go through everything one by one, now you can select multiples and do things like assign owners, update your statuses if they're not rules-based, create or update existing rules, update start dates, due dates, things like that.
So that's the end of that section. And now we've come on to the embedded analytics section here. And John, I don't know about you, that, you know, the big one for me, there are two here. One is supporting embedded paginated report data sources containing a single sign-on. That one's really nice.
Yep. And also direct query for Power BI data sets is also now supported in Power BI embedded. And I know that's a big deal if you're using this. It's something that it's held us back from using that feature in some cases because we have an embedded version of our product and so this is going to give us some more options in terms of essentially getting away from having all your data in a single data set, that's massive. You have it spread across multiple data sets, et cetera. So we'll be able to take advantage of that from a product standpoint.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. In addition, in the embedded section, we get the ability to pass report parameters for paginated reports as well in the JavaScript SDK.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using that, same thing as we've got hierarchy slicers also are now supported in JavaScript APIs. So if you're big into the JavaScript stuff and you're using the Power BI API, you got a lot more stuff to work with. Also, in embedded, we get the ability to use a service principal profile. I'll try and break it down as easy as I could. Before, when you built an app, you could use a single service principal if you're a vendor, you could use a single service principal for all your customers, or you could create a service principal for each one of your customers, right? So those are your two options. This essentially lets you create groups. So a service principal that can serve multiple customers, but not all of them. So you can have them grouped together in sections. So you can have them administered by, this group manager or that group manager, et cetera. That's fundamentally what it's all about.
Yeah. And part of the problem was that there was a limit to 1,000 workspaces per service principal before.
Yeah.
And so you ran into this problem. And now, from what I can tell, there is a limitation of the number of workspaces that you can address with a service principal's profile still. But with the ability to do multiple profiles, that kind of eliminates the real big bottleneck that was there. So,
and then for the developer section, not being a developer, I've got very little to say about it. But if you are, you can now define the privilege permissions that your visual is requesting in capabilities.json. So I imagine that's going to give you a much more granular permission model. So you don't have to be granted full permissions just to a subset of the data. And that's going to make customers a little more happy about granting your permissions to your visual. And the visual load time has been greatly improved with the API version 4.6. And both of these features rely on the 4.6 version of the API.
Yeah, and no details on how much improvement.
Nope. Just better.
Yep. There's that.
It's better.
The visualization section, as always, we're going to just gloss right over and say, go take a look at these if you're interested in some of these custom visuals. Let's drop down into it and into the other section and say, coming soon, there's a Dataverse display name support, which obviously will be nicer. because you couldn't do it before. There's a Power BI desktop infrastructure update, WebView 2. We're getting closer to GA. We're trying to solve all these problems. So, you know,
I got to tell you, we turned it on in preview and it was bumpy.
Yep.
And it was pretty bumpy right when it was first, I guess, GA. It was GA. When it first went GA, it was still kind of bumpy. But in the last few months, I haven't seen a single problem with it. It hasn't gotten in the way. And it would manifest itself in weird areas. I'd see problems in general browser windows when something on the Power BI desktop side had hung up. So I'm glad to see it.
Last thing here is improved support for single sign-on for all users. So when you install the June version of the desktop, you're going to be by default prompted to sign in rather than getting the splash screen, and then you can go do stuff and you don't get the sign-in button until you go to publish. We now ask for it up front. And part of this is to better align with Office, right? And I ran into this a lot when we do SharePoint demos, like which context am I logged in as? I'd start to go in and do stuff. It's like, oh man, I'm logged in as the wrong user. Right? Yep. So now we prompt for that on login to make sure that we're passing the single sign-on tokens and doing all of that stuff upfront rather than having to ask for it multiple times downstream later on. So we get a better experience this way.
Yep, and that's it for the month. We've gone through the whole thing, and we're running a little bit over, so.
We are. How about that? So with that said, John, let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'm looking forward to a July version. Should be fun, but you know, we'll come back around and see what else we have between now and then. I'm expecting some fun stuff throughout the summer. Like, again, should be a little bit lighter because it's really nice out in Seattle in the summertime.
Yeah, no kidding.
So people like to go outdoors and take vacations.
What's that?
You and I haven't known that for a while, but although you just went on a three-week dive trip, I don't want you.
I'm not complaining. Yeah.
Anyway, buddy, it was good to talk to you. Look forward to the next one, and we're out.
You know it, sir. Take it easy. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at Bifocal Show. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal podcasts can be found on the Bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.